Kent Online News.
News you can trust.
This is the Kent Online Podcast. Nicola Everett.
Hello, hope you're okay. On Thursday, February the 5th, thanks ever so much for downloading today's podcast. Coming up, hear from our reporter who's been speaking to the family of a man left paralysed following a crash. The Medway Council leader tells us how they plan to balance the books. And we hear what a new so-called super university will mean for the county. But first, a new study has revealed the scale of antisocial behaviour in Kent. Just over half of people say they've experienced it in a survey of nearly 5,500 residents. The most common complaints are about rowdy and inconsiderate behaviour, littering and nuisance driving. But interestingly, only around a third of victims reported the offences to authorities. Well, Kent's Police and Crime Commissioner Matthew Scott is behind the survey.
The good news is that it shows that there has been a reduction in the number of people experiencing antisocial behaviour, but we do still have some work to do to encourage people to report it. The more the police know about, thanks to our new neighbourhood policing model, the more the police can do about it. We're improving reporting, so it's easier to get through to the police and report antisocial behaviour now, whether that's through 101 or online. And we're putting in place communication systems to make communication between the public and the police even better. So we've got some good results in this survey, which show feelings of safety are up and antisocial behaviour is down. But we do still have some work to do in order to work together to cut crime, support victims and build trust.
80% of us who responded said they felt safe where they live. The level of trust in police across the county was an average of 6.46 out of 10. Well, Matthew says they're always looking to improve their services.
I'm pleased to see the work that I've been doing with Kent Police to cut crime, support victims and build trust is yielding some results, with people seeing a police officer more often and feelings of safety in the local community slightly improving based on last year. We have still got some work to do to encourage people to report crime, to make victims feel safer, but also to make sure that service improves as well. And some new technology that we'll be implementing this year should improve things like communication with victims and get them updates on their cases more often. So there is some good news within this report, but obviously we accept that there are still some things to do to help cut crime, support victims and build trust.
Well, we'd like to know what you think. Perhaps you've been a victim of antisocial behaviour in the past. Did you report it to police at the time? You can let us know your story and your views on those survey findings by emailing news@thekmgroup.co.uk. Elsewhere, police have seized a van displaying fake number plates after several vehicles were damaged in a village near Swanley. Collisions were reported in the Church Road area of Crockenhill on Sunday. A white Ford Transit was found abandoned by officers. A teenager who led police on a chase through Rochester and Stroud on his motorbike has been banned from driving. Mark Lear was spotted by patrol running a red light on Corporation Street in January 2025. The pursuit only ended when he crashed into a car. The 19-year-old who lived in Manor Road in Sundridge was also in possession of a bladed article. He's been disqualified for a year, ordered to do 200 hours of unpaid work and take an extended retest. Now, police investigating reports of a sexual assault in Sittingbourne have released an e-fit of a suspect. He's alleged to have followed a man along William Street before making sexual comments and touching him inappropriately. It's said to have happened on the afternoon of December the 22nd. We'll share that picture via Kent Online.
Kent Online News.
A young dad from Broadstairs has been left paralysed after his car flipped during a crash near Canterbury. Reporter Millie Bowles has been covering this story and joins me now. Millie, can you tell us what happened to Stephen Gibbons?
Hi, Nick. So Stephen was involved in a crash on the A28 in Hurston in May. He'd gone round a roundabout, clipped the kerb and flipped his car. His sister Hannah told me that she got a knock on the door from police at about 11 p.m. telling her he'd been in a serious accident. So the family raced up to King's College Hospital in London, and Stephen said he couldn't feel his arms or his legs. There was some hope at the beginning that he might regain motion, but it was later confirmed that he'd severed his spinal cord and he was paralysed from the neck down.
And while the 32-year-old is still in hospital, what have his family said?
His family say he's trying to be optimistic about his future, but obviously times are tough. They are all coming to terms with him living life in a wheelchair. Stephen was a chef and he was due to start a new job 2 days after the crash. And he's also a dad to a 4-year-old little girl. And his sister spoke of how he'll never be able to properly hug her again. It's really heartbreaking.
And he's been looked after a long way from home at the moment, Millie. Why is that?
So, yeah, he's been moved around a lot. Originally, he was in London and then in QEQM in Margate. But now he's 130 miles from home at Stoke Mandeville. But that's because they have a specialist spinal injuries unit.
Of course, everyone's hoping Stephen will be able to come home soon. Tell us a bit about a fundraiser that's been set up.
Yes, they're hoping to fund modifications and an extension to the annex at his mum's house in Broadstairs so that he can be home with his family. He'll also need transport and care. So it's a big undertaking for them and they're hoping to raise some funds to help.
Millie, thank you ever so much. And you can find a link to that fundraiser within Millie's story today at Kent Online. A carer from Maidstone has been banned from the road after being found over the drug drive limit. John Waller was pulled over in Parkwood last year and tested positive for a byproduct of cocaine. The 39-year-old from Highland Road in Shepway admitted the offences. He's been banned from driving for 18 months. Almost 7 months after it was put in place, a hosepipe ban in Kent has been lifted. South East Water customers have faced restrictions since July last year, following the driest spring in England since 1893. Bosses say heavy rainfall over the past 2 months has helped replenish resources. A new multi-million pound robot is being used to carry out surgery at the QEQM hospital in Margate. The tech, which is named Hugo, has 4 arms and allows operations to be less invasive and more precise, which bosses say leads to improved outcomes and faster recovery times. It's been used so far for patients with bowel cancer.
Kent Online reports.
We're being told a new so-called super university confirmed for Kent will provide opportunities for growth and development across the whole county. Contracts have been exchanged over the merger between Greenwich and Kent. The London and South East University Group, as it's set to be known, will launch in August in what is a UK first. Well, Kate's been speaking to Georgina Ransley-Demora, who's the president of the University of Kent, and Professor Jane Harrington, who's the designated vice-chancellor of the new group.
So for both universities, name, identity and local presence was key. So for University of Greenwich and for University of Kent, and actually both universities, I think as many people will know, have worked together in Medway for over 20 years. And part of that has actually been working with industries, with other schools and colleges, other universities in Kent and Medway. So actually we've already got quite big networks. So actually coming together for our students opens lots of opportunities. And it does mean that we'll be able to continue to offer really broad-based education at that higher level, across a range of subjects, but as Jane said, in a much more resilient way and in a way that we're actually able to open up more opportunities for industry links, for placements, for facilities. So I think on the whole, really good news for students, but also for the region. We want to be able to support growth and innovation in the region, and that's really key to the model that we've designed.
That was going to be my next question. I mean, this is the first of its kind. We've never seen anything like this before. How significant is it for Kent that we are going to be part of this very first super university?
It's really significant and loads of opportunities. And I think that what we see is not only excitement, of course, amongst ourselves and our senior teams, but also with many of the partners that we work with. So NHS, across the political spectrum, we're getting lots of support for the multi-university group. And I think that's because people recognise this is something that will drive growth, provide high value jobs, ensure we've got graduates in the region who are training in the region and want to stay in the region. And as I say, that's really key to the model that we've developed. We've also developed something that we can scale and replicate. So other universities could use the same model, or we could incorporate other universities in the future.
Yeah, again, you've led me beautifully onto my next question. I mean, you've left yourself scope here for expansion. I mean, further down the line, could there be, you know, more universities joining this group?
Yeah, we've definitely designed it in that way. But of course, at the moment, our priority is getting it to work for the two of us. And as you know, that is already quite a significant undertaking for us and for our teams and for our governing bodies. So at the moment, our absolute priority is making this work between the University of Kent and the University of Greenwich. Really supporting everything we need for business as usual on day one, and then looking at how we can build out those opportunities, great growth and synergies in the future. Then we'll see what the future holds. But it was important to us to provide a model that enabled growth and that scalability.
I think the only thing I'd add to say is that I do genuinely think it's exciting for the region.
And I think, you know, what it gives us is an opportunity to look at what the offer is strategically across the whole region, and to look at where there's cold spots in the region, to look at where there's gaps in provision in a way that you can never do on your own. And it suddenly opens that up. So my own view, and I know it, George shares it, is that over the next 2 to 3 years, you're going to see greater provision actually across the whole region and greater offerings. And that's what I'm excited about, because our aim is that every young person in the region has somewhere they can go if they want to.
A town centre car park in Medway could be converted into 100 new flats. Plans to transform the Brook multi-storey in Chatham will be discussed by the council next week. The authority have put in a bid for £1.5 million from the government to pay for the scheme, but would also need to put in around £400,000. The New Look store in Dartford will be closing its doors for good today. The clothing retailer confirmed last month a branch at the Orchard Shopping Centre is shutting down. It's not known how many jobs will be lost as a result. More details about plans to boost one of Kent's most iconic harbours have been revealed. The proposals for Whitstable Harbour would see the return of a wet fish market and the site of the fire-ravaged Crab and Winkle restaurant turned into flats. Work is set to get underway in the coming weeks in the hope the market can be up and running by the summer. Now, bosses in Medway have announced plans to increase council tax by the maximum amount allowed in a bid to balance their books. If approved, an average band D home in the towns will pay an extra £110 a year. Leisure centre fees are also expected to increase, and while charges to park for half an hour will come down, longer stays will go up. Well, Medway Council leader Vince Maple has been speaking to our local democracy reporter, Robert Boddy.
People will be aware that we've been on a journey of financial sustainability. That's been challenging. We've had to take some difficult choices. But when we first spoke to government about this, we were clear it would be a three-year programme. And we're in year three of that now. We're moving into that. We were hopeful at one point we may not have to seek exceptional financial support, but we are going to have to do that for the reasons laid out in the papers, particularly around some of the challenging demographic pressures that we continue to have here in Medway. So we've made good progress on the savings required for this current financial year by the end of quarter three, so 75% of the way through the year, we've made 81% of the savings. So we're making good progress, but there's always more to do on that as well. But from my perspective, I'm proud of the work that's been happening, sometimes at very quick speed, to get us to the point where we've got our draft budget in place.
And what is the scale of the EFS that you'll be needing both for this year and next year?
So for the budget that we'll be bringing forward to the February council meeting, that will be in the region of £10 million. That was actually what we anticipated when we first talked to government 2.5 years ago. Obviously, what will be required for this year, we're still working through that. People are still working on efficiency savings and income generation. So we won't know that final figure till we get to outturn. But that will be part of the conversation we'll be having with central government as we move forward.
In terms of things that people, you know, in their day-to-day lives are going to see, changes to the way Medway Council runs and things like that. One of the things that is parking charges increases. Could you just outline sort of what those changes are?
So there's three key things I would highlight here. Firstly, we have brought forward generally quite a revolutionary process of bringing down the price of the 1 hour parking. That's as a direct result of listening directly to both residents and businesses. Often they'll talk about the need for someone just to be in town for a short period of time. So this hopefully will encourage that to take place and support our small businesses and support our residents who are accessing their town centre specifically for that. We are putting up parking charges more generally aside that, and absolutely we recognise that that's still meaning that we're kind of mid-table when you look across the region of Kent, and we are also increasing for the first time the country park charges, both the day charges but also the permit, which is good value for money if you're a regular user of our country parks. And of course it's one permit for all country parks across Medway.
Kent Online reports.
Firefighters are going to be knocking on doors across Kent from today to check your smoke alarm is working. Teams will be covering the county this month to test, relocate or install the devices. It's the third year the Days of Action have taken place, and I've been chatting to Joe Bathurst, who's a group manager with Kent Fire and Rescue Service.
Everyone here at Kent Fire and Rescue Service is committed to helping people to stay safe and reduce the risk of fire. So these days are a great opportunity to bring everyone together and reach as many people as we possibly can.
Now, you're going to be, as you say, heading out across the entire county, kind of on different days throughout the month, aren't you? So do people need to book in an appointment, or are you literally just going to turn up at their door?
No, there's no need to book an appointment. You'll see teams from Kent Fire and Rescue Service across the county, knocking on doors across Kent and Medway on the 5th, 10th, 16th and 25th. There's no need to book an appointment. But what I will say, it's really important for people to remember that our crews will never ask for money or bank details. This is a free service that people can take up. They can turn it down if they want to. And the things I really want to get across to people is that our teams will always be wearing branded Kent Fire and Rescue Service uniforms. They'll be carrying ID cards. And if people are unsure, there's a number they can call to check who people are, and that is 0800 923 7000. The other thing to look out for is they normally have a Kent Fire and Rescue Service branded vehicle with them, and there'll probably be a fire engine nearby too.
And just spell out for us, Joe, how life-saving this kit can be. How essential is it to have smoke alarms in your house?
Oh, it's absolutely essential. I mean, we see only too often some really tragic events that we have to deal with, and smoke alarms really give you those vital few seconds to get that extra warning and get out of the house as quickly as possible. In that case, you get out of the house, you stay out and you call the fire service.
And in an average size property in Kent, obviously there are loads of different sorts of houses across the county. How many sorts of smoke alarms would you expect to find in a property? Perhaps people think, oh, well, I've got one, that's enough. Do they need more than one?
One is the absolute minimum, but we recommend one on every floor. And like I say, that just gives us that just gives you the vital few seconds to get that extra warning and get out of the house as quickly as you can.
Joe also told me that most smoke alarms have a lifespan of 10 years. Campaigners are calling for urgent action to repair a neglected tram shelter in Dover over fears it could collapse. The Grade 2 listed structure on Folkestone Road dates back to 1931, but locals say it's been left to rot. Well, Dover Town Council say it's regularly checked for any required maintenance. You can see pictures of what it looks like by heading to the website today. Five Kent restaurants have been named in the top 100 in the UK. The highest ranked in the county was Updown Farmhouse in Deal, which came in at number 17 for venues outside of London. Restaurants in Sea Salter and Seven Oaks also made the list. You can see the full results by heading to Kent Online. Elsewhere, a village pub near Ashford has announced it's been forced to close amid impossible business pressures. The Swan Inn in Little Chart dates back to the 16th century, but shut for the last time on Tuesday. The current landlords took over in 2024 and have thanked the community for their support. A Kent Animal Park has managed to raise £100,000 to rescue a lynx from war-torn Ukraine. Ursa was found living in poor conditions after being kept illegally as a pet. Bosses at the Big Cat Sanctuary near Ashford are building a new enclosure so she can come and live there instead. And finally, a music video by Mika, which was filmed in Kent, has been released. The singer, who's known for hits like Grace Kelly and Love Today, was in Dungeness last month. The Romney Hythe and Dymchurch Railway features in the video for his new single, Excuses for Love.
Kent Online Sports.
Tennis first up, and Kent's Emma Raducanu is through to the quarterfinals of the Transylvania Open. She beat Slovenia's Kaya Juvan in straight sets last night. The British number one from Orpington is due to play in the last eight this afternoon. A Kent Football Club is having to fork out thousands of pounds after one of its pitches was vandalised. The grass has been torn up at Larkfield, with pictures showing what appear to be tyre tracks. It's thought the damage was done by motorbikes last Saturday night. And a Kent Golf Club has submitted plans for new paddle courts as the sport continues to grow in popularity across the county. Sittingbourne and Milton Regis Golf Club want three courts at their base on Wormdale Hill on what is currently unused ground. It comes as paddle facilities are already being built at Sittingbourne's Eurolink Industrial Estate. Bosses hope they'll be open in a few weeks' time. Well, that's all from us for today. Thanks ever so much for listening. Don't forget, you can follow us on socials. Plus, you can get details on the top stories direct to your email each morning via the briefing. To sign up to that, just head to kentonline.co.uk. And whilst you're on the website, you can sign up to Kent Online Premium. That gives you access to content with fewer ads and exclusive stories.
News you can trust. This is the Kent Online Podcast.